Right, you, a little while ago, you told me about an amusing incident about the theft, in inverted commas, of a wallet. Could you just briefly go through that?
Yeah. Patrick Croft, I can't remember where, Patrick Croft, Royal Ordnance, big shell production facility in Manchester. And I went up there, and Gilbert Claridge, lovely Gil, was there. And he looked after us all, and, you know, a very extremely clever man. So we'd finished work on the Saturday, see in the morning at 8, Gil, maybe 8:30 Sunday, you know, it's a bit of leeway there. And we got down for breakfast. There was me, Les George, Fred Rossiter, Chris Quillen, Bill Neal. Oh, I can't remember now. There must have been about 6 or 7 of us. And we all stayed in this one guest house. So having breakfast, Fred comes down. And Fred never looked, you know, the brightest thing in the morning, possibly. But at this guy, I've had my wallet stolen. I thought, oh, crikey. When, Fred? Well, he said, I had it last night and it's gone this morning. And those days, really, credit cards weren't around, you know. Everything was cash in the pocket. And I think £100 then was a couple of weeks' wages. So there's £100 gone. And what it was then, this guest house had other residents, and they were basically working men. And although it was Sunday morning, there were other people in the same situation as ourselves wanting to go to work. But doors were locked, and Fielding and Platt were put to one room, and these other people were put in the other room while the police came. And, you know, there was talk amongst ourselves, I don't trust that one, it could be him. it's pretty, you know, it's a real, we need Hercule Poirot there to sort it all out. But we were sat in the, stood in the room, and Les was just, I don't know. He said, Fred got up to walk round or something, and Les said, Fred, which pocket did you put it in, Fred? He said, don't be clever, Les. He said, I've only got one pocket in these trousers because Shirley bought them for me. I said, well, you've got two there. And Fred went to his rear left. There was his wallet. And what he'd done, he'd taken his trousers off at night, put them on the chair and put them in the wrong pocket. So we then, you know, we had a big laugh and Fred couldn't understand what we were laughing at. So he went outside and this gentleman was there with a sort of looking a bit more respectable than us, with a jacket on, maybe a tie or something. And he said, well, sorry, officer, I'm sorry for wasting your constable's time and disturbing all these people. And the chap said, well, actually, I'm the same as you, I'm trying to get to work. So the police were somewhere else, but oh, it was quite an experience. And obviously quite embarrassing for Fred.
I'm sure, I bet he was never allowed to forget that. Right, on the other side of the coin, Clive, were there any particular sad moments that you experienced at Fielding's?
Yes, there was, you know, when obviously primarily there was, if people died that were, you knew at work, and at that stage there was, redundancies were, you know, not the nicest things to go through, and as a youngish person it became nearly the norm to be involved in redundancies, and, you know, sometimes you don't realise, but it can be a blessing, but obviously at the time it's quite a emotional, it's not easy. But one thing about Fielding's, one thing I would like to state, what I think, I mean, probably more in reflection than at the time, was the what that company consisted of. It had its own foundry, its pattern shop. We had the fabrication shop with the blacksmith shop. All of these trades, the tool room. And for a small company in a small little corner of Gloucester, to be able to build hydraulic machinery. And in a lot of cases, the only thing you weren't building was the motors. Everything was in-house. And the skills and the ability to produce that equipment to the standard that Fielding's produced it to was tremendous. And the pattern shop, to see the work they built. I later stage when I went to the an old building, there was full of patterns, and just to look at the craftsmanship of these patterns that obviously had to deal with shrinkage in metals, and they had rules for the shrinkage on aluminium, on metal, in the pattern shop that these people built the equipment, built the mouldings to, tremendous.
If the pattern wasn't right, the casting wouldn't be right, would it?
No, so it was really all of those skills, and I think the pattern shop was more or less gone in the early 70s. But at the time, they the garage, the photography shop, everything was in-house.
Well, I think you've more or less answered the next question. It was, what do you think of the Fielding's workforce?
Well, I had quite a friends when I'd come back from working on site and things. Oh, what happened then, Clive? And you'd tell them stories. And there's quite a few. You obviously fill a few books of them from the Fielding stories. But the skill level was very high. Fielding's products, if you went around the country, a lot of the equipment you were servicing was 50, 60 years old. It was built to last, it was well engineered, and it had a great reputation.
Yep, I think a lot of people have said that. And okay, you talked about the workforce. How about the management then, Clive?
When I started, I think David Rawls was managing director, but I was just a young boy then, so I didn't know the ins and outs of the management system. But towards the end, it got taken over, and as is nowadays, companies change hands, employees move around. When I started, the people who retired quite often had done 40, 50 years, but as time went on, that situation changed, and as is today, you find less cases of where people start a job after school or education and complete their careers and retire. But what would I remember? Frank Bullock was works manager. He seemed okay. I can't. Yes, I'd have to think a bit more about some of those.
Never mind, Clive, you've done pretty well so far. So, eventually then you left the company. What were the circumstances, Clive?
I left in 83, and it was just, I think, it was a general redundancy, I think, a lack of work, and I don't know. Certainly there was still a small number of people kept on. I think there was they were building a stretcher at that time for Taiwan, Talco, that's right. And to such an extent, I think I left, and I think I went back. They invited me back shortly afterwards. And at that time, you know, obviously to be made redundant and go back, it's quite a, you know, you're not really, other people might not be inclined to do that. But obviously I was young and I had a mortgage to pay for. And I went back for a short period of time. And then I think when I went back and the final closure, I think that was the end of Fielding and Platt in Gloucester in 2000. It relocated to Folks in Wakefield, I believe they are. And all of the products of Shaw's, Berry's, Chester were put into the Joseph Folks company.
Okay then, Clive. Final question. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish the interview?
I just think that working at Fielding and Platt gave me a good experience, and having gone to Doughty's and to Hitachi Zosen, some big companies, the experience I had in Fielding and Platt served me very well. And the I think quite a lot of it is the time you spend on site on your own. When you're on site on your own, that's it, you're on your own. In those days, there was no internet, there was no mobile phones. You were lucky if you had a fax machine, and maybe when I started, I didn't even have those, I don't know. But you learnt to stand on your own feet, and you were committed to having equipment operating, and people who were operating that equipment had to be paid, and machinery had to operate.
I think it was as a result of working for Fielding's, Clive, you met a young lady along the way.
Yes, I went to Hitachi Zosen, Alan Watkins was the manager of the company in Cheltenham, as it was then. Fielding and Platt had built equipment for Clearing Press. And Clearing Press were taken over by Hitachi Zosen, a Japanese engineering company. And I saw an advert for a commercial engineer, and then I was taken on as a service engineer. And one of the first tasks was to, first job was to install some new presses at the Nissan factory in Sunderland. So I went out to Japan to look at the similar presses that were, the existing press that was being built for Nissan, plus two others for America. One was being tested, another was being stripped down. So I saw one being built, one being tested, one being stripped down of the same press. And at that time, the general manager of the American company in Chicago was being shown around the company in Osaka that was bought by Hitachi Zosen, and they'd obviously given the impetus to, for much more modern operating in terms of manufacturing equipment and assembly of equipment and redesign of the equipment. They use the basic engineering, if you like, cylinders and frame designs, but instead of having five presses in a line and mechanical stroke human handling between the presses, they constructed a machine with five presses in one, all run by one big motor system with big handling system. So they invited the general manager of the Chicago plant to Japan to show him what they'd done to modernize the equipment to such an extent that he was visiting all the departments in the works, and to ensure correct communication, he had an interpreter, and that interpreter was now my wife Michiko, who we met in 1989, and then I went back in 1990. I went back in 91 to do a similar exercise on the Rover presses that went into Swindon. And now we've been together for over 20 years with two children, and that was all from work.
Wonderful.
Work as a, it's been quite taken a major. What can I say? Major things have happened in my life through work.
Wonderful. Well, Clyde, this has been the most interesting experience, and all I can say now is on behalf of Brian and myself, thank you very much for your time and your hospitality.
Oh, thank you very much. And I've obviously keep up to date with the website, so I'll continue to do so. And I've got some photographs here if you want them, so be good for them to go so other people can see them. I think I've got some here that I think Brian took, Brian Mintz, and they might be. I might be the only ones with those, so it'd be good for them to be available
okay.
for others.
We'll sort those out then, Clive, and add them to the interview. Thank you. Thank you very much.